This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bibles, go to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 31. Proverbs, chapter number 31 tonight. And I want to talk to the ladies and then the men as well. And I think you'll see where I'm going with this. Somebody came into the office right before church and said, "Boy, you sure are a bold preacher." I said, "How you figure that?" I won't call his name, but Mr. Poe said, you sure are a bold preacher. I said, "Well, how you figure?" He said, "Preaching to all the women when your wife's 14 states away." I said, "Well, I just have to follow God. When the Lord tells me to preach it, it's when I have to preach it. I can't help it. It just happens to fall when she's out of town. I can't help that. God knows." Yes, she probably is watching, Earl. But I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 31. No, this was on my heart. About Tuesday, I started studying on this passage of Scripture. It's a little phrase that I've never really thought about and I've never really processed. But tonight, I want to talk to you about the keeper of his heart. The keeper of his heart. Proverbs chapter 31 in verse 10, we find the verse that everybody has read before, because Solomon asked the question, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Verse 11 is our text verse. Watch what it says. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." That phrase there, "so that he shall have no need of spoil," she keeps his heart so safe, so protected, that he doesn't have to go pillaging around anywhere else. He doesn't have to rummage in anybody else's field. He finds what he needs, and his heart there is protected. Now, this is going to be one of those messages that I'm going to give you some information that I hope will clarify and encourage you in a few things. Number one, I want you to look at verse 1. The Bible says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." The word Lemuel, it means belonging to God. Now, a lot of people, we don't absolutely know for certain. The Bible doesn't absolutely say, but we can surmise that this is Solomon. And this was a pet name that Solomon's mother gave to him. Today we have pet names your mama does for you. It's honey or baby or whatever it is for you. And that was Solomon's pet name from his mother. His mother would look at him and would call him, "You're the one that belongs to God." So then therefore, if Lemuel is Solomon, then who was Solomon's mother? Solomon's mother was a woman whose name was Bathsheba. Now, the problem with Bathsheba is we immediately remember her because of her adulterous relationship with David and the betrayal of her husband, Uriah. Now, what's interesting to me about this is that if Lemuel is Solomon and the mother that taught him how to be a virtuous woman, and what a virtuous woman was, is Bathsheba, that teaches me a few things. Number one, it teaches me that past failures do not ruin present opportunities. Just because you were something doesn't mean you are something. Just because you did something doesn't mean you'll do something. Just because you messed up there doesn't mean you'll mess up here. Just because you walk bad there doesn't mean you'll walk bad here. Now, it'd be interesting to me whenever I look at verse 11 and I say, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." Of all the people that should be said about, Bathsheba is not the one that I would say that should be said about. Of all the things you should say, it should be said the heart of her husband should not safely trust in her. But yet this woman had a turnaround, and this woman had a change of heart, and this woman had a head-on collision with God. And now the Lord of heaven had changed her, and what she used to be, she is not today. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, if you have a mess up or a failure in your past, the devil will bring it up to you every single day of your life. Every day you mess up, the devil just writes it down in his little book of mess ups. And whenever you start doing good for the glory of God, he's going to bring that thing back up. And here's the problem with the devil. I find his voice and his words sound a whole lot as if they're coming from God himself. You'll start to pray, and that's when it'll pop up. Now, child, you know I can't hear that prayer because of what you did do. Child, you know I can't answer that prayer because of how you did act. Child, you know I can't do that because of this. And before you know it, you're discouraged in praying. You're discouraged from walking with God. You're discouraged from seeking God. You're discouraged from anything. Why? Because of that past failure. But I promise you this, if Bathsheba, who messed up in adultery and betrayed her husband, she can have a turnaround, and now the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Ladies and gentlemen, if God can do that for her, God can do that for you. It doesn't matter, men and women, what you were. It only matters if you've been dipped beneath the blood of Jesus Christ, and if you have been saved by the grace of God and forgiven. If you have been forgiven, then God said you are a brand new creature in Jesus Christ. The second thing it teaches me is that past inabilities do not obstruct from present instruction. What does that mean? Here's what it means. It means just because you didn't know how to do it doesn't mean you don't know how to do it. Just because you don't know what to do doesn't mean you can't know how to do it. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Here's what I mean. John 14, John 15, John 16. We either believe the Bible or we don't believe in the Bible. Am I right about it? We either believe the whole Bible. Look at me right here. We either believe the whole Bible or we don't believe any of the Bible. Am I right? You can't believe pieces and bits of it. All right? Because you'll have Jonah in the tree, you'll have Zacchaeus in the mouth of the whale, and you'll have Noah sitting in a tomb somewhere on the backside of Bethlehem. And you'll never get it right. You either believe the whole Bible or you don't believe any of the Bible. If you believe the whole Bible, then John 14, 15, and 16 tell us this, that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, the Holy Spirit of God, and if he baptizes you into the body of Christ at salvation, then he, the Spirit of truth, will lead you into all truth. Therefore, that means this, whatever you don't know, the Spirit of God, if you will let him, will teach you what you need to know. Preacher, I don't know how to be a good husband. Then God will teach you how, through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. Preacher, I don't know how to be a good wife. God will teach you how, through the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Preacher, I don't know how to be a preacher. Yeah, join the club, but I don't have a clue either. But if we let the Spirit of God teach us, he will teach us because he will lead us into all truth. Now, here's what's interesting to me. I look at that word virtuous in verse 10, and the word virtuous, it means this: strong, efficient, a person of valor, a champion. That's what everybody wants to be, especially women. Every woman in this building desires to be a strong, courageous, efficient, victorious woman. There is not a woman in here that would be honest with me and with herself. There is not a man in here that will be honest with me and with yourself that says, I want to be a strong, victorious champion for God and for Jesus Christ in what he has made me to be. Here is what Solomon gives out from verse 10 to verse 31. He gives the remedy of the virtuous woman. Now watch this. Are you ready? I counted this out the other day. Do you know how many characteristics there are of the virtuous woman? There are 40. There are 40 verbs that are used to describe the virtuous woman in the Hebrew. Now, that's interesting to me when I study Bible numbers. Here's why. Do you know what 40 is the number of in the Bible? You ready? Ladies, you're going to get blessed. It's the number of trial, tribulation, and testing. It's the number of adversity. How long were the children of Israel in the wilderness? 40 years. How long did it rain on the earth? 40 days and 40 nights. How long was Jesus tested? 40 days in the wilderness. How long did he fast? 40 days. How many days after? It's all the time. It's all the time. It's all the time. 40, 40, 40. Here's what it means, ladies. You can be a victorious woman, but it's going to take some tribulation and trial. You can be a champion in what God has called you to be, but it's going to take some tribulation and trial. And that's where we get so messed up, isn't it? Boy, we set out to do something for God. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better wife. I'm going to be a better soul winner. I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to be a better this and a better that. And the first obstacle that comes our way, I guess that wasn't God's will. I'll just move on to the next thing.
But what you've got to realize is that there are many trials and tribulations, but the working of your faith is by tribulation, and it is through the obstacles that you learn how to jump. It is through the valley you learn how to grow. It is by the walking you learn how to endure. It is by the hard times you learn how to stay strong. So what you need to understand, ladies and men, is that what you are going through is not God trying to stop you. It is God trying to show you how to keep on going in the direction He's called you to go. Ladies, if you're going to be a good wife for the glory of God, you're going to have tribulation. He's sitting beside you. He's on the front row, Faye, but you know what I'm saying. Men, if you're going to be a champion for God, it's going to take trials and tribulation. If you're going to be a good Christian, it's going to take trials and tribulations. But if you ever hope to get down to the end of it where it says that her children will arise up and call her blessed, you've got to keep going through the trials and keep going through the tribulations. You've got to keep on walking. You've got to keep on going. Now, I look at this virtuous woman, and I'm going to where I'm going to. Here's where I'm looking at. When I look at this strong, courageous woman, I'm always interested in what God describes her as first. He tells us in verse 10 that her price is far above rubies. We know that, but that doesn't describe something she does. What's interesting to me is that the first thing the virtuous woman does is this. She operates in such a way that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Now, what's so interesting to me about that is that he could have put any one of these things. He could have put any one of those things, but the first thing he put was the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. This is what God said. The first trait of a virtuous woman is she is the keeper of her husband's heart. Now, that is not popular teaching in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not popular to talk about, but if you're ever going to be strong, you've got to put first things first. If you're ever going to be strong, now here's what, there's a twofold application here. Number one, he's talking to wives, women that have physical husbands, women that have husbands. Ladies, what he is saying is that if you're going to start the journey to be a real virtuous woman, the first step of the journey is to be the keeper of your husband's heart, to be the protector of his heart. I'll talk to you about that in just a second. But there's ladies in here, you're widowed. There's ladies in here, you're divorced. There's ladies in here, you're single. You've never been married. There's ladies in here, you've got all types of this and that, and you've got a lot of situations that are going on. What about you? I began to ask the Lord that. I said, Lord, I can't preach to a group of people, and half of them aren't even going to apply to this. And this is what God said. Holy Ghost said, son, are they not the espoused to their husband, Jesus Christ? They said, you are my bride, church. You are the one that I have espoused to me. And so therefore we could say that about every child of God in this room, whether you're man, woman, white, black, single, whether you're married, divorced, widowed, whether you're rich or poor, if you have been saved by the grace of God, you have been called to be the keeper of the heart of Jesus Christ, the protector of his heart. Write down just a few things. Number one, I want you to write down the picture of this phrase. He said, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. It has the idea, remember, who wrote this? Solomon. What was Solomon? He was a king. Remember that? Kings had something that most of us don't have. They had a protective squadron of people that guarded them at night. And whenever they would lay down to sleep, these trusted guards would gather around their bedside and at their door. Therefore, allowing no enemy, allowing no problem, allowing no issue to come in and to ruin the sleep of the king. And that's the word picture there that Solomon uses. He said, you ladies, you church, you are the keeper and the protector of the heart of your husband. You have been set on guard. You have been called to be on duty. You are the one that he said that I want you to stand watch. Now, what are we supposed to protect? It says this, the heart of her husband. Now, men, I'm going to unleash some secrets on you. Or some of your secrets, rather. Whenever the Bible says the word heart, It's the Hebrew word leb. And whenever it's used in a figurative way, it speaks of the inner desires, yearnings, dreams, ambitions, and ways of that person. Now watch this. Here's what Solomon said, that the heart, the inner person of that man is protected by that woman. Ma'am, can I ask you a question? Is the man you're married to able to reveal his inner person to you? Now, I know old Bubba grunts and hawks and spits and does all types of stuff, but you do realize that every single one of us that are men are just like women in the fact we have inner dreams. We have a real person that's down deep inside. Ladies, what you don't realize is that the reason many of the men in this room don't reveal themselves is they've been scarred. They've been laughed at. They've been wounded. They've been hurt. They've been battered. Whenever they were a little boy, they were mocked. Whenever they were a child, they were abused. Some of them were molested. Some of them were beat around. Some of them were laughed at. Some of them were scorned. And what they did is they said, if nobody will protect me, I'll shut the door and I'll never open it. Until he met you. And God made two one. And now that man is looking through the keyhole of his heart. And this is what he's saying. Am I safe to open the door? Am I safe to reveal to you who I really am? Some of you tonight, ladies, you'd have to be honest. Sometimes we men are not the only ones that aren't sensitive, is it? Sometimes ladies have been guilty. You know how I know that? Because I know that my husband, Jesus, has revealed to me his way and his will before. And I've mocked it. And I've scorned it. And I've laughed at it. And I haven't obeyed it. And he revealed the very person of what he is. And the guard was off duty. It's interesting to me that we seek to be seekers of wool and bringers in of food and risers in the night and considering fields and girding loins and perceiving merchandise and laying hands on the spindle. But we skip over the very first part. The heart of her husband doth safely trust. You know what that word doth safely trust? It's the Hebrew word. Y'all are so impressed when I give my Hebrew, so I love to do it. Y'all just have this look on your face like, this guy can speak Hebrew. He cannot speak English, but he can speak Hebrew. The Hebrew word there, it's the Hebrew word batach. And it means this. It means to be a rock by which something is anchored to. And here's what's interesting. What's interesting to me is the woman, the church, is to be the rock. And the man is to anchor himself in that. But watch this. What do you anchor? You anchor something that is going to be tossed in the wind. You anchor something that is going to be tossed by the waves. So therefore, what Solomon is saying is that the heart of her husband is anchored down. And no matter what comes his way, no matter what blows upon his life, no matter what comes in his way, no matter what hurts him, no matter what destroys him, no matter what, that rock stays. And he's able to be anchored in that rock. And no matter what, he knows he's safe because he's got a keeper of his heart. I confess to you tonight, do you know why Jesus has pulled off of the church in America? Because he's revealed his plans and we laughed at them. He revealed his way and we mocked him. We said, we'll do it our way. We'll put our lights in. We'll put our show in. We'll put our music in. We don't care what you say. We don't care what you do. And Jesus has withdrawn himself. Why? Because the keeper of the heart of God said, I've got better things to do. Some of you are walking spiritual paths and you're begging God to show you His way. Show Jesus he can trust you, and he'll reveal his way to you. Show him, I will not laugh. I will not turn aside. I will obey. And he'll say, all right, come in. The picture of this phrase, number two, let me show you the placement of this phrase. If you notice this phrase, there's 40 different verbs in from verse number 11 down to verse 31. 40 different verbs. What's the first verb? The heart of her husband doth safely trust. It's before all things. Can I tell you something tonight? That there is a great wave in our nation that is overwhelming people, and they have no idea it's overwhelming them. You know what it is? It is you can do everything and never do the main thing. You can do all things and never do the one thing. You can go high but never get off the launch pad. You can run fast but never leave the starting line. Because God is a God of process. You don't get to step three until you go to step one with God. He's not a God that says, all right, you can skip this and this and this and this and this and go to this. No, he says, you will start here, and until you learn to do this, you'll never go a step further. And there are women in this room, and there are Christians in this room, and you want to do everything. You want to sing, you want to jump, you want to play, you want to do this in the church, and you want to be known for that. But God said, before you can do all of that, there's one thing I want from you, and that is to be the keeper of his heart. Ma'am, before you stand accountable to God for being a good mother, God will say, were you a good wife? Before I'll stand accountable, Tyler, were you a good pastor? He's going to say, son, did you keep my secrets and do them? The keeper of his heart. It was before all things. And this woman was driven by one thing, her love for her husband. You know why she got up in the night? She loved her husband. Do you know why she went out seeking flax? She loved her husband. She didn't want to just seek flax. Seeking wool. Well, that sounds like a barrel of monkeys, doesn't it? She didn't care anything about seeking flax. She cared about her husband. She wanted her husband. It was her priority. It drove her. It drove everything that she is. It drove everything that she was to know that her husband could trust in her. Christian, can I ask you a question? Do you sing so people will hear you? Or do you sing because there is an all-listening ear that is turned down to 31:13? Tyler, do you preach so that people walk out the door and say, man, what a preacher? Or son, do you preach because I called you to do it? Lord, give me a heart that I'm willing to say I'll be the keeper of your heart. To ever be strong, to ever be courageous and victorious, it's got to be everything. But watch this. Ladies, how many, now be honest with me, ladies. Don't lie to me. How many of you ladies at some point in your life have ever read through the passage of the virtuous woman? Okay. Now, men, we read through the Proverbs one day a month, and how many of you have ever read the passage of the virtuous woman? Men, I have. Do you know something I've never found in this passage? I've never found it. She never changes her actions based on what the husband does. I've never found that her actions are determined or changed by how her husband acts toward her. Preacher, I'll serve Jesus as long as it's good. What about when he makes you walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Preacher, I'll fast. Preacher, I'll pray. What about when God pulls off of you and five demons pull into your house and ruin your mind? The keeper of his heart, this is what a keeper does. A keeper said, I don't care what goes on behind the door. My job is to watch the door. Ladies, listen to me. American philosophy tells me this. If your husband acts this way, treat him this way. But if he acts this way, you have the right to treat him this way. Look, but the Bible tells us to love as Christ loved. How many of you want Jesus to love you how we love other people? I'm afraid I would be guilty of not loving as Christ loved. Christian, I tell you tonight that no matter what the Lord does to you, He doesn't do things to you, He does things for you. They are not to hurt you, they are to help you. But here's a question. And this is how you know if you really love God. If He took it all and cursed you to the ground, would you still say like Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Write down the third little thing. I want you to notice the privilege of this statement. Now here's what's interesting to me. I read one little commentator, and this is what he said. Solomon had 1,000 women, 700 wives, 300 concubines, what the Bible tells us. He had 1,000 women, but he never had one virtuous woman. He had 1,000 people, but not one of them fit the mold of the virtuous woman. Here's what it tells me. 1,000 women may satisfy your flesh, but you only need one that will protect your heart. Men, I tell you, in an age that is riddled with pornography, in an age that is riddled with feel good now, in an age that is riddled with if it doesn't work, move on to the next thing, I promise you, if you have one woman that protects your heart, you are richer than a man who has 1,000 women. You know why? Because satisfied flesh will not help you sleep at night. But a pure and protected heart is a soft pillow to lay your head on. How do you know that, preacher? I'll tell you how I know that. Because every night when I read Fox News, I read of another famous movie star that has had life, that has had money, that has had women, that has sucked down more heroin and had another overdose. I read about men like Michael Jackson. They have everything, but they can't even sleep at night. They have to pump fentanyl into their body in order to make themselves sleep, and ultimately their own heart can't handle it. Men, she may not be the best at many things, but if you can really be you around her and you're safe, you're richer than Solomon ever thought about being. Can I ask you a question? You ever thought about something? Why would Jesus visit our church? Has that ever processed to anybody? Brother Bob, I don't know if we've looked around and just got just downright honest. We don't have the most beautiful building in Greensboro. It's not the most expensive building in Greensboro. We don't have the nicest carpet in Greensboro. We don't have the most wonderful preacher in Greensboro. We don't have the... But why would he come here and visit us? I'll tell you why. Because he feels safe to reveal his will to this people, and he knows we will follow. And that's why he visits with us. How many of you read history? President Abraham Lincoln, one of the most famous, the most famous president, probably besides George Washington. Abraham Lincoln was married to a woman whose name was Mary Todd Lincoln. By all accounts, she was a woman who was probably mentally committable. She was crazy. There's no other way to put it. She was crazy. During his entire administration, she brought to him one problem after another. There was one problem I read the other day. Chaim Ben Torah put it in his book. He said that Mr. Lincoln's wife, Mary Todd, had created a financial scandal, had spent some money, had done some things that were not right. And if it ever got out, they knew that right out of the Civil War, they knew that it would be a disaster for that administration. And so his Secretary of the Treasury, a man whose name was Mr. Seward went and he solved it under the table, behind the scenes. He came into the Oval Office, he knocked on the door, and he came into the president's personal office and he said, Mr. Lincoln, he said, everything is okay. I have solved the issue. It's all good. Everything is okay. The story said that Mr. Lincoln never looked up. And Mr. Seward looked at him and said, Mr. President, did you not hear me? I took care of the problem. It's all taken care of. No more problem. It's okay. This problem's handled. They said Mr. Lincoln looked up at him and he said, it's not this problem I'm worried about. It's the other problem. Mr. Seward stepped back. He said, Mr. President, what problem are you referring to? President Lincoln said this. He said, I don't know, but with her I know there'll be one. How does the master look at you? Does he look at you like that? I don't know what the problem is with that child, but I know there'll be one. Or does he look at you every week, just a lowly little sheep like me? And he said, they don't do this the best, they don't do that the best, but I feel free to reveal my heart to them. Ma'am, may I ask you a question? As the Holy Ghost leads you, as the Holy Ghost births in your heart right now, whatever burden He's put on you, as you take an honest examination, we're good at being the keeper of our children's heart. We're good at being the keeper of our family's heart. But as you examine, Lord, there are some holes in the door that I'm allowing. God, teach me and allow me to be the keeper of His heart.